Bathe in his peace now. Just bathe in his peace. His peace is here for all of us. Jehovah Shalom, his peace is here for all of us. Taste it. Receive it. Stay in it for a while. So, Joe Channing, thank you for your guitar work and your leading. Oh, thank you, Chuck, for your beautiful drumming in the spirit. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, Lori asked me if I would substitute teach for her tonight, so I'm going to give it a shot. The girls call it stand and deliver. I'm not real used to this, but I'm going to give it a shot. I still wrote some outlines here, but there will come a time when I can throw all those outlines out. So I'm going to just start and let you know that it's coming up on a year since I had my accident. I hit a tree is what happened. Busted my femur in half and crushed my hip. And I'd been trying to get better, and the doctor took an x-ray and said, it's not getting better. Your hip is shifting, and you got a lot of arthritis in it. You got to go for a hip replacement as soon as you can. So I had my sister-in-law said, don't go anywhere but to Mayo. And I'm thinking, Mayo? Man, I don't think I have... That's way too elite for me. I'm just a regular guy. And so she kept insisting because she's had some real serious brain operations that she's gotten relief from. And I stopped fighting it, and I thought, well, you know, God's made doctors too. You know, he's given doctors wisdom. And Mayo is in Rochester, Minnesota. They're one of the best hospitals in the country. They've got one in Arizona, I believe, and Florida too, I think. So I got in. It was kind of a miracle getting in because they didn't think they were going to be able to see me till October, and I just kept calling them, and eventually they said, this must be your lucky day. You just won the lottery. We got you coming in for your surgery on such and such a date, which was way earlier than I thought it was going to be. So now I've been on this this surgery for or this hip surgery that I just got. This is the fifth week of it. But I thought I might share a little bit about how the Lord has been using that in my life, because my life has been all about adventure and you know, making it on my own without any help and all. So I had I've been humbled to need people's help and take people's help. And our church just did a sermon on who are you when you fail. Who are you when you fail? You know, the series is on who am I? And they did a really good sermon on this, and I got convicted somewhat by this sermon because I've always looked at myself as someone who is an achiever and a go-getter, you know, and I put together who I am by what I've done a lot in my life. You know, I had a great career teaching, and and coaching, and that was part of who I am. And then I had, and after that, I've been climbing mountains. I've climbed 34 of the 54 14ers in Colorado, and I intend to do them all. So I got 20 more 14ers that need to be climbed, 14ers being 14,000 foot mountains in Colorado. They got the most of them in Colorado. So I asked the Holy Spirit, can I do that? And he said yes. So I'm waiting on him. And there's something that I'm learning about healing and faith. See, we should never be content with, status quo, where you are now in your growth. There should always be a next step. We all should have a next step all the way till we die. Never stop learning, never stop growing. So I've been getting a lot this year that is new for me that I'd kind of like to share with you. And some of it was like trying to silence the voice of the enemy. I don't know if any of you ever get hit by fiery darts of thoughts. The fiery darts are in our thought life. And the enemy will take a circumstance and then magnify it to the negative and fire that at you, okay? And then you sit there and then you either resist it or you swallow it and you start walking in that negativity. And God came to give us life and give it abundantly. If you're walking in a negative mindset, that's not from God. My accident wasn't from God. A lot of people, and this is a faulty thinking system, sometimes we get faulty thinking systems along the way in our religious journeys. One of the faulty thinking systems is God did this to me to build my character. Guess what? Would you have done that to your child to build their character?
Right.
You know, would you have busted their arm in half to make them a better person? See, that didn't come from God. Though, we live in a dark world. Face it, this is a dark world, and stuff happens. And when it happens, we have to go to God, and God will translate it and make it for the good. But we have to cooperate. We have to contend for that. We have to contend. We have to actually be aggressive, and not just sit there and take it and expect God to ride up on a white horse and rescue us. He's given us all the tools we need. When He died at the cross, He released all these tools. He released the Holy Spirit into you and me. We're all walking around with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that created the universes, that rose Jesus from the dead, is inside you and me. Are we tapping Him? Are we tapping that power? I think there's so much more that we don't even understand that we could be tapping into that could bring us to our callings. We all have a calling. Anybody that's a Christian in here has a calling. And the ones that aren't Christians, yet you have a calling too. But that calling isn't going to be realized if you go for 30 years in your faith and then you just sit there and figure, hey, I've been at this for 30 years. This is where I'm going to rest. This is where I'm going to stay. No, He's got a next step for you. What is that next step? What does it look like? We went to a fantastic conference in Buena Vista. A bunch of you here, I see, were there. And it was the third one. It's the third annual. Next year we're going again. And it seems like it gets better every year. And it's growing. And there's stuff going on at that conference that was new for me, that I'd never heard before. And Holly, I've been watching Holly and Lori over the past 17 years. They're growing. They didn't stop growing. You know, they didn't settle for a certain place and then stood there. Holly and Lori are now teaching in a way that's very hands-on and practical, like never before. They want us all to get it. It's not like they are on some high echelon place that we can't touch. Their goal is for all of us to get it too. We're supposed to get it and then go out and use it. We have, we have been redeemed. Okay, we've been redeemed. That means that our sins are wiped out completely. All of them. the darkest ones. See, the enemy wants to keep coming back at you and bringing up that sin that you can't even forgive in yourself, and he wants to stick it in front of your face and hold you back. But Jesus died for that one too. He died on the cross with your sin. He became sin on the cross so that you could be righteous. Do you know you're righteous and holy right now? You are righteous and holy right now in your new nature. He didn't make any junk. You are completely righteous and holy in that new nature. Yeah, our soul is still being developed, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. But the spirit man that's inside of us that he gave us when we ask Christ into our heart is perfect in the sight of the Lord. That righteous person can now see, if the devil knew this was going to happen, he would have never let Jesus be crucified, because he multiplied himself millions of times through all of us. We're all little Jesuses now. And we can do the things that Jesus did. He said, you'll do the things I did and greater. Well, how in the world could that be possible, that you'll do greater things? The only way that's possible is for the Holy Spirit that lives within you to do the work. He's doing the work. You're cooperating. You're allowing it to happen, and you're cooperating with it. And now you can have not only the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, which is where the word dynamite came from. When you ask Jesus Christ to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, you get dunamis power to operate in. That's a lot of power. But not only do you have that power, but you have authority. He's given you authority to exercise it. That's like a 1-2 punch. Now, I think a lot of us haven't taken that authority. A lot of us haven't taken that authority because we don't know. We haven't heard that. We don't know that we have it. But there's no reason why any of you in here can't lay your hands on a sick person and then recover. Because you have the mind of Christ inside of you, and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So there's no excuse that you couldn't actually go up and lay your hand on a sick person and have them recover. There's a lot of religious thinking out there that says that healing was only for the disciples in Jesus' time. And then some people go, well, yeah, but what about the 70 or whatever? Because they healed too. And then his commission is for us to do the same. Not only are we supposed to save, be about the Great Commission, but we're all supposed to heal. The signs and wonders of Christ will follow the believers. We're to be about signs and wonders. We're supposed to be operating in the signs and wonders. And did you know that the latter rain's greater than the former rain? We're sitting here on the threshold of the latter rain. Now, we can either say, I'm in, or we can sit there and watch it miss us. So I believe that we're real close to coming into revival. You know, it's already begun. And this in Walworth County, it's already begun. It's already started, but it's going to build, and we can be part of it. All right, so that's stand and deliver. Let's see what else I was supposed to say. Hearing his voice. How many of you can hear this Holy Spirit's voice once in a while? Okay. There's a lot of people that say, boy, you know, I wish I knew what the will of God was for me. Do you know that if you picked up your Bible, you'd find the will of God for your life? If you started reading it, you would find what that will is? We're in a time now where people don't read that much anymore because they're on Facebook. Me too, I'm guilty. But we need to read. We need to read the Word of God. The Word of God isn't meant to be a book from Genesis to Revelation and then put it down so that I read the Bible. Because the Word of God is alive. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we open the Bible, that's a supernatural thing. When you start reading the Word of God, if you take it as a lifelong exercise and you don't stop, you read it the rest of your life, do you know that you can hear the voice of God when the Holy Spirit calls the Word to you when you're sitting there in your divine encounter on the road? You're walking down the road, all of a sudden you meet somebody and you start having a discussion. Guess what? A verse comes to your mind. Where do you think that came from? That came directly from the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to speak that verse to that person. So you speak that verse to that person. That's a divine encounter. You just gave them the word that the Holy Spirit told you to give them. Well, do you think you'd have that word if you never opened your Bible? If you never read it? You know, we have to sharpen ourselves by disciplining ourselves and reading the Word, because it's the combination of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that's the 1-2 punch. That's the 1-2 punch. You don't do one without the other. They're both hand in hand. The Holy Spirit has an assignment for all of us. So, on hearing the still small voice, it took me quite a while to hear the still small voice, because I was from an evangelical background, and I wasn't really much about this charismatic stuff, wasn't really much about speaking in tongues, was very leery about it because I was told to be very leery about it. But when I started coming onto it, I started realizing, hey, there's something here. And there's a whole lot of passages in the Word that talk about people speaking in tongues, people prophesying, people healing. And I started thinking, well, maybe they're wrong and maybe this is right. So I tried it. You know, I've always been a risk taker, so I tried it. And wow, I'm glad I did. I'm glad God got a hold of me and was patient with my arrogant attitude and gave me my prayer language. And I just want to say that because I've also got the gift of evangelism. That to any of you out there that don't have a gift, there's no condemnation with that. If you don't have your gift of speaking in tongues, you know that you can get it tonight by asking Jesus Christ to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. If you sat there in the quiet of your room and you really wanted that gift, all you have to do is ask. Jesus, would you give me and baptize me with the gift of the Holy Spirit? Baptize me in the fire. Baptize me with that. And he will. And one of the manifestations of that is speaking in an unknown tongue. That's not the only one. There's healing, there's prophecy, there's 7 or 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if it's 7 or 9, I think it might be 9. But there's always more. And you might be sitting here because maybe this is your next step. Why would you be here tonight? Maybe he's talking to you. So I want to challenge any of you that haven't had a chance to do that, do it tonight. Do it, or do it soon. Ask Jesus Christ to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then wait. Because that's where I started to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. There's a guy named Derek Prince. Some of you are aware of him. He was a great teacher. And he has a teaching on YouTube. It's amazing how much is on YouTube now. You can go every night to get fantastic teaching on just about anybody on YouTube, all the way back to John G. Lake, you name it, Smith Wigglesworth. There's all their teachings are on, you know, out of there. But Derek Prince, he rang a chord in me because I'm a teacher too, and he has a gift of teaching. So he's got a teaching out there on how to interpret the tongues, your tongue. Not only can you interpret somebody else's when they speak, because that's all what I thought it was, interpretation of tongues was just interpret somebody else that just spoke in tongues, and then you go, oh, that's what they said, and then you speak it out to the congregation. Well, he he turned me on to the fact that you can speak in the Holy Spirit, in your tongue, wait and ask for the interpretation, and you will hear what the interpretation of your language is. Now, that blew my mind, you know, and it works. So now I really don't have much of an excuse to just do my own decisions whenever I feel like. I can go to the Holy Spirit, ask him, what should I do in this case? I got a major decision to make. You ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do? And if you have your prayer language, you can speak a few lines of your prayer language and wait. And you will hear the still small voice speak to you and guide you on what you're supposed to do in that situation. He wants you to know. He wants you to hear what you're supposed to do. He doesn't want you to be in the dark. So I want to challenge you on that one, too. And it's Interpretation of Tongues and Prophecy, Derek Prince. Look it up if you're interested at all in that. You can find it on YouTube tonight, anytime you want. But when you hear that still small voice, and this is something I learned at this conference from Lori and Holly, both of them said, and I don't know why I never really heard this. It didn't really sink into me, but it sunk into me at this conference. Holly's saying, I asked the Holy Spirit a million questions. I ask the Holy Spirit things all the time. And I'm sitting there going, I don't ask the Holy Spirit all the time. I don't ask the Holy Spirit 100 times in a month something. But I think we should start, because the Holy Spirit will find a way to answer your questions. He will find some way. He knows how to speak to each one of us very uniquely, very individually, and he'll know how to answer your question. And you don't stop asking till you get the answer. You got to be a bulldog somewhat, like Holly. You know, you got to be a bulldog and keep after it and keep after it until you find your answer. And you will get your answer. He will answer you. That's encouraging to me. Who's ever had a healing from God? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I used to say, okay, you know, I'll believe in healing when I see one. Okay? And I was from a church that didn't believe in healing. So you think I was going to have a very, you know, good odds at seeing one when I'm going to a church that doesn't believe in healing? You know, and actually tells me that happened, that was for a long time ago. Well, I started going to different places that did believe in healing. I went to this conference one time. I had a shoulder cuff injury that I'd gotten from diving off a rock in Devil's Lake. I shouldn't have done that. Right. But anyway, I'm sitting with this shoulder cuff injury, and it's been like, I don't know, almost a year, and I can't even throw a ball, you know, and I'm starting to think, hey, I'm going to have to go get surgery, because I don't want to live the rest of my life not being able to throw with my right arm. And I went to this conference, and at this conference, now you want to, you think waving these flags is something, you know, kind of crazy. You should see these conferences, man. They're full-blown. They're throwing grenades out in the audience, Holy Spirit grenades out in the audience and doing all this stuff. And it's crazy. It's out there. People are being slain in the spirit, laying in the floor, shaking, you know, and this, that, and the other. But the guy said, okay, anybody with a shoulder injury, raise your hand. And I raised my hand, and he declared healing to all shoulder injuries. And he said, get up and move your shoulder around. I got up and I moved my shoulder around, and I was able to move my shoulder around. After that night, I was able to throw again, and I've never had an issue with it. Now, you can't argue with that. I'm telling you that. I'm not going to lie to you, you know. But when after that happened, I had a hard time not believing in healings. When it happens to you, it's kind of hard not to believe in one. And do you know there's healing for every single disease, that 39 stripes encompassed all disease forever for every human being. That means emotional, mental, you know, broken bones, decrepitness, you name it, anything. God, in Holly talks about a staging area in heaven. She says there's body parts just waiting to be claimed in heaven for your injuries. We're supposed to live a long, healthy life. Now, a lot of people say, well, does that mean you're never going to die? No, that doesn't mean you're never going to die. But you don't have to die of some incurable disease. You don't have to die of that. It's not God's will for us to go around taken out before our time. That's the enemy that does that. The enemy takes us out from ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't look, we don't read the Bible and see the 1,000 promises that he's given us. Do you realize all his promises are yes and amen for all of you guys and for me? All of them. His covenant blessings are for all of us. We're grafted in children of Abraham. All those covenant promises are for us. So if you don't know about those 1,000 promises, you better start digging in the Bible and start finding them out and claiming them this side of eternity so you don't have to be stuck in some lousy disease of some sort, some incurable disease. All the genetic stuff can be wiped out. You know, we say, okay, well, you know, all the men on both sides of my family died before they were 58. Well, I'm 67. I've already almost outlived them by 10 years. So, is it getting late? Is it or not? Okay. All right, so anyway, that's why we need to be students of the Word and never look back. Make an advanced decision, I'm a student of the Word. And until I've memorized it, I'm not done. And once I've memorized it, I need to memorize it in the Greek, and then I need to memorize it in the Hebrew. So you're not done until you've done that, okay? Because the Greek will give you in-depth, way in-depth of the meaning. And the Hebrew for the Old Testament will give you in-depth beyond the surface of anything you'll read in English. So we need to be students of the Bible, and we need to be friends, close friends with the Holy Spirit. Have you considered that? That the Holy Spirit isn't an it, but he's a person. And we need to learn how to be friends with him. Best friends. So if that hasn't happened yet, start asking him, how can I be your friend? How do I, you're invisible. How do I become your friend? How do I hear your voice? He'll find a way to show you. Then it's, and this year I've learned this more too, because I've had the enemy, all he needs to do is get a hook or two and just keep pulling and yanking on that hook if he wants to keep you bound and down. So you need to find out what that weakness, what your weakness is, where the enemy keeps pulling on that hook, and then defeat it. Get transformed by the renewing of your mind through Christ Jesus. We have to have our minds renewed by focusing on what the Word says and not what the world says. Because the world will say all this stuff and will think that all these intellectuals and all these theologians are saying all this great stuff, but it's not what the Word of God says. We got to say to ourselves and make an advanced decision, no matter what anybody else says, the Word of God is my rock. That's what I believe, in spite of what it looks like, in spite of the circumstance. Because in the natural, things might look impossible, but God can do anything. God who has, you know, made the universes, that we don't even know about yet can certainly take care of your personal problem that you're going through right now. There is no problem in here that God doesn't have a solution for. Your problem isn't that difficult for him to take care of. But are you going to trust him? For me, I'm learning that's a key. I have to learn how to trust him. So I have to drive my pillar of trust into the circumstance that shakes my faith. I don't know if about some of you guys, but do you have some sort of circumstance that just has shaken you and you can't get past it? That means you got to drive that pillar all the way down to the bedrock of Jesus Christ and put a stake in it and trust him with that until you get victory in that particular area. And then the enemy might find another one. And then that pillar has to go down into the ground like skyscrapers are built. Skyscrapers in Chicago. Those pillars have to go down as tall as a skyscraper is for that thing not to shake and bend in the wind. And that's how our faith has to go. Or if you'd rather see it organically, we got to be oak trees. Our roots have to go deep, deep into the soil of Jesus Christ.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So how do you make the roots go deep? How do you make the pillar go down in order to trust?
Okay, when you start there, you have to figure out who's talking to you. Is it my thoughts that are haywire? Is it the enemy that I bought the lies with? Or is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? And the Holy Spirit's not going to bring you anything but peace and victory. If you're not living peace and victory, then you're being swayed either by your own fleshly thoughts or by a fiery dart from the enemy. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit how to decipher that. Where is it coming from? Is that thought? Is that circumstance that I've bought that I can't get past coming from you, Holy Spirit, or is it coming from the evil one? Is it a fiery dart from the pit of hell? And a lot of thoughts, the enemy wants us to believe that we thought them, when the enemy actually puts them there. The enemy plants a thought in your head, and then you feel guilty about it. That's not from your mind. That's straight from hell. That was a fiery dart. You got to decipher that. And so you need wisdom and knowledge to decipher that. And then once you figure it out, then are you sick and tired of being sick and tired in that particular circumstance that you're in? Then you will address that and begin to put the roots down in that and make it a priority until you get victory in it. Yeah, declaration, sure. Oh, you betcha. You betcha. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we speak what happens to us. We can either condemn ourselves or we can speak life. If we're speaking and thinking death, death comes. If we speak, like we just had I won't tell on him, but there was this guy at our Bible study this morning that says, "My knee is so screwed up." Well, he just cursed his knee. Okay? You don't say, "My diabetes." It's not your diabetes. God's already healed it. So you don't even say that stuff. You don't speak it into the atmosphere. We got to be very careful what we say because the words that we speak are so powerful and they carry so much weight. So we got to be... And that's what's awesome about declarations, is you can speak your way right out of a curse. You can speak yourself out of a word curse somebody's just thrown on your back like a knife. You can take it right out. And word curses are real. You know, there's there's witches out there. You know, there's people out there that don't like you that have actually spoken negative things about you, and now you're feeling off or something. You know, something's wrong. Well, that could be because somebody's just spoken a word curse over you, and you have to ask God to take that word curse away. Pull it out of your back. Render it useless. All word curses be gone. If you think, if you even think or suspect it, pray against it in the blood of Christ, right? So then they'll go. Prioritize your life. If this is a pattern that's happened year after year, that needs to be addressed. And you have to put a stake in the ground and say, okay, I'm done. I'm done letting this one bother me. I'm no longer going to carry this baggage over my back another year. I'm going to deal with this until the stake gets driven down. And Joe and I like this verse, and Holly has spoken it too. Is not my word like a hammer that pounds a piece of rock to dust? Or a fire? Is not my word fire or a hammer that pounds a rock into dust?
Jeremiah 23:29.
And this is, I'm going to kind of wrap it up here pretty soon, because I just want to say that there are words that you come across in the Bible, and then God will give you rhema words. Okay? You'll go across and you'll read the Bible, and there are words on a page, and you get tired, and then, but all of a sudden, God will give you a rhema word, like Jeremiah 23:29. And that one will penetrate your heart, and that one's a life verse for you forever. Those are rhema words. God wants to continue to give you rhema words all your life and build your repertoire of these rhema words, because they're supercharged with the Holy Spirit, and then you walk within them, in that living word inside your heart. And they're very powerful. A couple of them that I got this year, just to wrap it up. I thought I was going to run out of time, but I'm not even close. So I'm just going to come to some of the rhema words that he's given me this year to help me cope with what I've been dealing with. Because the enemy wanted to keep saying, John, you're not going to get any better. This is it, man. You just ruined yourself for the rest of your life, and I'm not buying that lie. That is coming from the enemy. God is going to heal me, and I'm going to stand on top of a 14er, and I'm going to declare it, and I'm going to make it a testimony, and I want to be an example, for any of you that are going through anything that you think is impossible. But when Derek Prince was in the Army, he contracted a skin disease in the desert, and they said it was incurable. And he was laid up in the hospital for months, and he had nothing to do but read the word. So he came across, God, the Holy Spirit gave him, Proverbs 4:20-23. And it goes, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So are you getting that? They bring, the actual word itself brings healing to your whole body. So what he did was he took these three verses, Proverbs 4:20-23, and he took them like medicine, morning, noon, and night. Every day, he took them like medicine. And he didn't, I suppose he said how long it was, but it took quite a while. But one day he woke up and he was cured of that disease. And just because you don't get your healing, I haven't got my healing right now yet. It's in process. I'm healed in the heavenlies. It's not there yet. I expect it to be there. I'm not stopping till I smash that rock into dust. Okay? So we have to contend for our healing. We have to contend for the healing. And then you know what? Sometimes you might get your healing, and then a month later it starts to sneak back in. And guess what? You have to contend for it again until You smash it to powder. So we have to be warriors sometimes, all of us. You know, we can't just be complacent and let somebody else do it for us. But the other one that I wanted to read you that also was from Romans 8, 9 through 11. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. And that life means healing. You have a Holy Spirit living within you that will give you healing, that will give you life. When you look up that word in the Greek, it will include healing. So I'm going to end there, and I think it's been a wonderful night, and I've enjoyed being the substitute for Lori. And I think we had a good time, and I think God's laid some stuff down tonight for all of us. I hope that you all walk out of here with something. And you might not realize it till tomorrow or the next day, and you go, oh, man, I feel different, a little lighter, a little more peaceful. Who knows what it's going to be. Maybe you already know what it's going to be. But bless your hearts. Go in peace. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He loves you. And because He loves you, I love you.